Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today I had the pleasure of speaking with my friend from college. His name is Phil Fu. Phil was born and raised in Staten Island, and we went to Stony Brook together and both studied engineering. He is now an aerospace engineer and he fixes homes on the side. He is currently house hacking with his first property and looking to purchase more. He's a super disciplined and driven individual. Hope you enjoyed this episode.
Thanks for
Hey.
having me. This is gonna be fun.
Yeah. It's pretty new to both of us, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, no kidding. Usually I'm just used to like a camera just recording. I just do whatever I want, you know? It just
No,
captures all your habits.
your Instagram it's something though. The selfies and all the progress, it's something that I've been keeping an eye on. That's how I notice.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's like I told you offline, it's hard. Social media is hard.
I feel like it's your personality or the consistency is hard.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely personality, consistency, and just values. It's like, personally, I don't like sharing too much. You know, I like to keep things personal. But at the same time, if you're trying to build a image of yourself, you have to share. You know, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I think we're pretty similar in that aspect. Kind of forcing myself to do this, but at the same time, I'm sure like later on looking back at it will be worth it. And I'm sure you want to look back at your photos too.
Yeah, I mean that's for sure.
For some background, Phil and I actually went to Stony Brook together. Were you born in 93?
93, yeah.
93. Okay, so we're the same year. And did you end up doing a master's or just
Yep,
your
I
bachelor?
finished
Oh, you did.
the master's in mechanical.
So I don't know if you heard, but back then a lot of people mistaken me for you or vice versa. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
We're like the same height. We both wear
Were
these
you on the
big
same
round
height?
glasses. We had similar
This
haircuts
is
back
true.
then, and we used to go to the gym.
That makes sense. And we're, both dashingly good looking, so
Yeah,
that's I can't blame the ladies. That's too funny.
are you coping with the whole COVID situation?
I still have my job, so that's definitely good. I still have my job, so I work from home currently.
Oh, okay.
But besides that, I think I'm doing okay. You start to learn habits, I guess, and some things about yourself when you stay home alone for that long. You and your girlfriend stay together?
No, I'm at home. I live with my parents. I mean, we have a
Okay.
two family, but I live in the same unit as them. And I do visit my girlfriend from time to time.
Where does she stay?
She's in Jackson Heights. Yeah, but we're both in Queens. We're just about 20 minutes away. What about you? Are you staying with your fiance, right?
Yeah, fiance now. It's actually been a year since I proposed to her, so we've been engaged for a year.
Wow. And you guys met in Stony Brook?
Second or third year at Stony Brook.
Wow,
Make that.
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
That's a good move. That makes you a really good guy, man. I know I said that earlier, but I mean it.
I appreciate it. I think when you know what you want, you should just go for it, you know? You don't want to be in that position where you realize what you have was good is now gone.
Well, I hope she listens to this episode.
She probably will. I love you.
She probably will. Since we're lookalike, I don't know if we actually have a similar background growing up. We're both Asian, Chinese. So what was it like growing up for you? Where did you grow up and what was your family like?
I grew up in the most probably Jewish slash Italian neighborhood in Staten Island. So, I tell my friends, that, the general saying, I'm yellow on the outside, but I'm just white on the inside. I'm a banana, you know? I'm a cannoli. I don't know how you want to put it. I'm pretty much white. But I had a good life as a kid. I had no complaints. There's not really any struggles. Parents are both great to me. I have a younger brother. He's amazing. He's smart, kind. Yeah, I'd say I had a good childhood. I can't complain.
And what values did your parents really instill in you and your sibling growing up?
What values did my parents tell me? That's a hard answer. That's a hard question because I
Yeah,
think.
especially for an Asian family, it's a good mix of stuff, right?
Yeah, it's definitely the default stuff. Like go to school, work hard. Get a good education, get a good job, have kids, then have grandkids, like stuff like that. Like I think that's just like embedded in us, right? My personal values, extending from that, without digging, too deep into it, it would be hard for me to say, because I think a lot of their values just kind of branched. My personal values are branched off probably from them, but I just don't know it. I will definitely think about that, though. That's a very good question.
So are you more similar to your mom or your dad then?
I think I am definitely more like my mom in terms of just everything.
And did you go to middle school, high school in Staten Island where you live, or elsewhere?
Yep. Elementary, preschool, middle school, and high school, yeah.
So college, you went to Stony Brook in Long Island. Did you know anyone there when you got there, or you had to start fresh?
Yeah, no, I was grateful enough to know a lot of people. I think you know Alan George, right?
That sounds so familiar.
He's about my height. He's like the super, like the most dark Indian guy you'll know.
I probably know by face. Like, that name sounds really familiar. Is he engineering too?
Definitely. No, he's goodness, he's gonna kill me. He was psych. He was a psych major, but he's the same age as me. Him and I have been friends since I'd say like about kindergarten. I'm pretty sure there's photos extending since back then. Him and I were roommates probably for every year of college.
So were you always the same Phil in high school compared to college, or was there any changes in between?
I have definitely grown more in terms of responsibility, in terms of profession. Back in high school, I did theater. That is definitely not part of my, you know, degree now as a mechanical engineer, but yeah. Back in high school, I was an actor for about 2 years because my school was a theater school, but it was also 5 minutes away from my house, walking distance. So that's kind of what happened.
In college, from what I remember about you was that you're pretty much pretty studious. I could see that, you know, you go to all your classes, every class you've been in, I don't think you ever miss a class. And you hit the gym consistently. I remember at one point you got really jacked. You look like, what's that character, Mega Man? Like your forearms are huge. Your thigh.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Joanna's going to love hearing that.
Like, you just had a bodybuilder look to you. And that, I know that wasn't easy. So there's definitely a lot of discipline building.
Discipline is not something you have overnight. That's something you have to train yourself to. I definitely will not say I was disciplined during college, but I would say that there's that craving you have when you go to the gym, right? You know, to go to the gym, and then after you go to the gym, there's that feeling of satisfaction, accomplishment, and, you know, getting to that next step. You know, back when I was in college, I was a power lifter, right? And it's not about looks. It's not about looks, period, doing powerlifting. It's about how much your body is capable of doing with what you got, right? And, you know, being a relatively small Asian person, right? You know, I don't want people to look at me and say, oh, he's a scrawny guy. He's got no strength. He's weak. And I want to, you know, prove people like, hey, like I may be 5'5", but I'm like, I could be a tank, you know? And I think that's what I was trying to prove to myself and other people. And this is just that sense of just like, damn, like, you know, I can do that when you go to like 2 plates or like 2.5 or whatever. And I'm sure like when you go to the gym, you feel the same way, right? You know, you pick up that heavier weight. You're like, yeah, I can do it. I'm going to hit the next one. And it's a self-accomplishment you can give yourself. And yeah, it helps.
I'm not going to lie. Back then, big part of the motivation was probably pretty shallow. It was for the looks. But then eventually when you pick up the weights, it's like, wow, you just want to go heavier next time. And then it just keeps you going.
Exactly.
You're the only person who's my height, 5'5", and actually admit it. Because every other person who's 5'5", they always say they're 5'7" or 5'6.5". They never say the true height.
Well, to be fair, my driver's license says 5'4".
Based on your Instagram, I actually thought you went all into construction. So you actually have an engineering job that you're doing, right?
Yes. I am an aerospace, I'm a manufacturing engineer at an aerospace facility in Long Island. So I oversee production on the floor. We built stuff for, you know, NASA. We built stuff for military, built stuff for aircrafts, outer space stuff. You know, the Mars rover is one great example, is one of my favorites. We have 10 components on that rover right now, and they're going to launch next month. So that is going to be huge accomplishment once I watch that go up. I would have so much pride in that.
Wow. So, but before COVID, you had to commute into work, or it's always work from home?
It was always commute.
So once out of school, you got a job. I saw on Instagram that you bought a house. Where is this property, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, that's fine. So it's in Farmingville, and it's 15 minutes south of Stony Brook.
Okay. And this is a house that you've been primarily fixing up, right?
Yes and no. So I bought the house back in, was it 2020 now? I bought it back in 2017. I fixed it up around 2018. Now I'm just doing extra stuff.
How did a recent college grad able to afford a house in Long Island, I have to ask?
So with my salary, I was able to get a loan. I only put 5% down. The bank allows you to. And when I came across this house, you know, I talked to the loan officer and said, hey, can we do something where it's called seller's concession, right? And what that means is that the seller will add $10,000 to the house, and that money goes straight into down payment or the fees to pay for the origination fees and all that, right? So to buy a house, it costs about $10,000 just to, you know, get all the paperwork done and to pay like leftover property taxes like that. Yeah, that's pretty much how I did it. I did a low down payment, and I'm paying higher principals.
And was that 5% FHA loan, or is it another type of loan? Conventional?
No, it's conventional. You can do conventional 5%. Downfall to that is that you have to pay what's called a PMI, which is a private mortgage, I think, insurance. And essentially, that's like an additional payment you pay to the mortgage lender that's like not tax deductible. That was recent. That was about like 2012. I think they got rid of that. That's something you can do, you know, telling other people out there if they're listening. Like if you want to buy a house early, like especially like right now with COVID affecting the real estate market, right? That property values are going to go down, which means that they're going to be more affordable. And especially with the interest rates now, with how low they are, if you're looking to buy a house, it's worth it now, around this time, now until like maybe another year or two, when property values actually do go down, because the market always is delayed. The real estate market is delayed with respect to the actual stock market and the economy.
Just yesterday I was speaking with another friend who bought a house with 0% down, but he's like in the real estate business, so he knows like the ins and outs of things. Oh, yeah. No, but I haven't met anyone, I guess, among my friend circle who actually bought a house who doesn't have 20% down conventional like everybody else, but figured out a way to make it work. So that's really impressive. Did you always have an interest in real estate, or for some reason you just really wanted a house and you figured it out?
So around that time when I was looking for a house, I was trying to learn how to, you know, become more self-sustainable, right, with economics. You know, there's that golden term, you know, financially free, right? As cliche as it is, it's something that everyone should take, you know, seriously, right? Whether it's being completely financially free or just partially, right? So the only way to get to that point is to actually start somewhere. And that is what I wanted to do, to start somewhere. I had actually got in touch with a friend of mine. His name is Dave. He works in finance, and he's referred to me by my mom. He was very, he's very smart with finance, with money. So I was able to learn from him. You know, he kind of pointed me towards real estate. He hasn't been in real estate at all. He pointed me there, right? He kind of knows about it. So then I found a place, and I wanted to do something called house hacking, right? Which is what I'm doing now, which is you rent out part of your home and you still live in it. The idea is, you know, live in your home for free.
So this is where you are right now. That is the house. You're doing this house hacking thing, right?
Yep, this is my garage.
Did you always had this construction renovation skills in you growing up, or you just picked it up because you decided to learn it?
God, I probably wouldn't be able to even drill a screw or drill a piece of wood and screw a piece of wood before I even started in this. I swear to you, I was so bad. Oh my God, I was so bad. I probably was the only thing I could do was like probably paint. you know, it kind of comes back to, you know, like the working out when you start it, right? It's like, you know, I can do it. And then I can do it again. I can do it more. Like I'm getting better, right? One, I had to do it. And two, I really liked it. Mm. That's kind of what pushes you.
I see. Was it YouTube, online, or you had like a mentor side by side that helped you?
No mentors. It's all wow. YouTube and the internet and just your local laws, you know, just like electrical laws. You can find all these PDFs for free, and they're very clear on what you're supposed to do wow. and what you're not supposed to do. But a lot of YouTube, you have to cross-reference. That is my recommendation for anyone that wants to do anything, is to always cross-reference from different people. You know, one person does something and he tries to teach you. Inside that teaching is lots of habits that he doesn't know of. But if you watch another video and they do similar things, then you know that that's the right thing to do.
Mm. That's a real engineer thing to say, man.
Yeah, no.
No, it's true. Sorry. But if you didn't tell me that and I just looked at your Instagram page, you look like a seasoned contractor almost, like a one-man team that just do everything.
I appreciate it.
So this whole house, you did everything, and then now you have tenants moved in with you, I assume?
Yeah, I have people living with me right now.
Okay, and are they able to just cover your mortgage completely, or you had to still get some out? Because I know Long Island taxes are kind of expensive.
They cover it and then some. So I'm wow. I'm positive. I'm very positive. Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm gonna tell you right now. I had probably 60%, maybe more, of emotion than research. Right. So I was just looking for houses. Sometimes if you take too long to decide, it's already too late. Sometimes you have to go with your gut feeling, and that's kind of what I did. Did I do great? I did okay. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I am fortunate, but I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. There are definitely things in this house that are draining my pocket more than I would like to admit.
So you bought this house 3 years ago, even though I'm sure like 3 years ago was when the market was rising, but compared to now, you're in a good spot for buying it early. Is there any step along the way that you wish you have done differently, whether it's like buying or how much you put down or the renovation by yourself?
I wish I did an FHA loan, flat out period, because you are allowed to put a 5% on that down payment, actually even less. And you can most likely buy the house for cheaper, right? So if I go for a complete foreclosure, this one wasn't a foreclosure, it was just a regular house. I bought it for $300,000,
wow. by
the way. Yeah, do you think that's a lot? You're saying, wow, it's a lot, or wow, it's a little?
No, it's a good price. It's a good price.
Oh, okay. But that's the thing, right? That's why I chose this area, because if you go anywhere south, it's $400,000 to $500,000 up. If you go anywhere north, $400,000 to $500,000 up. And then east and west is bad areas. I got left, which is like Coram area. It's not that great. And then I got right, which is Selden. You don't have to know these places, but they're not that great. And here is just kind of like this unknown kind of area. Do you happen to know where Farmingdale is in Long Island?
Yeah, pretty much. I actually live in Selden, Setauket, so I kind of know the whole area. Not too well, but I get what you mean. It's still like farming. It's still like a little family oriented. I guess it's just not up there yet. So
okay.
You definitely got a good spot.
Exactly. Farmingdale is just kind of the unknown area. It's like I say Farmingdale, you say Farmingdale. I say
yeah, no. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I wish I did an FHA loan, because I could have got probably a house for foreclosure, which means I could have probably got it for really cheap. Then I would also have money from the government to fund the renovation, and then I would have been able to refinance, and I would have got all my money back plus some equity, so that I can take that money and then put it into another house. Then I would be able to just step flow. For any first-time homeowners, it's always good to know that your first house you buy, you have so much leverage, like so much. You can get, you know, so much tax deductions, so much leniencies on buying your first house. You got, what's that called, a STAR program, right? So you can write off your taxes. I think people, if they want to buy their first house, it should be your primary house. And then after that, it should be investment, unless you find a another reason for buying an investment trust. I'm not too sure because I'm not.
And with this renovation, you kind of did everything yourself. Do you wish you had maybe hired someone or a helper to get to help you out and get it done sooner, but you have to pay them? Is that something you consider?
My renovation, entire renovation, was the help funded by my mom. She had saved a lot of money for me when I was a kid. So she gave me that money. And the total renovation probably took about 50 to 60K. No, that's too much. 35 to 40K, sorry.
And that's all material, basically?
Yes and no. There was one thing I had to hire out. It ended up being in the wrong location. So I had to do it myself the second time. Yeah. And that wasn't their fault. It was my fault. I didn't do a good job designing it.
Honestly, I could tell you're like very disciplined, and whatever you want to do, you just do it. Whether it's like schoolwork or powerlifting, you just figure out a way to make it work. The fact that you learn all these trades doing renovation, mm-hmm. that's a lot of stuff to learn, and you're able to do it all. What's your Instagram page so people could check it out?
Oh, right now I just changed the name. it's I'm having an identity crisis, but my account is foo foo underscore dot phil. So that's foo underscore dot phil.
That's a safe one.
Yeah,
probably last you a while.
Yeah,
a couple months.
Yeah, foo phil was taken, but he was taken by me. So stupid.
Oh, you forgot your password or something?
Nah, I don't know. I'm having trouble.
Okay.
Social media is hard, man.
Nah, I do that too. Every year, I kind of just aching to do a switch too. What's the next thing and what's the long-term goal with this? Going to buy more homes?
The next thing, I mean, right now I'm working on my shed in the back. It's practically a small house. After this, I want to get another house. I want to do another renovation. But it's going to require a lot of capital. I'm looking around to see if there's, you know, people that want to join me in that. I'm kind of just keeping my eye out on the market right now because I know it's going to go down a little more. Yeah, I'd say that's what's happening.
How do you plan to fund this second property?
People, you got to ask people. This is where connections start to come in, right? Because right now I'm going to just tell you, I don't have any capital. I don't have any money. If you know people, right, that have the money, you talk to them and work out deals with them. You say, you know, like I'm going to bring my skills onto the table, right? We're going to work together and we're going to find a property that's a good value, a good price for us. And we know we can add value to that property and then we can sell it. Whether we sell it or rent it out is up to us. But I do want to get more into real estate investing. It's a good market to be in, but it's expensive. It's expensive game.
Yeah, it really is. We're so similar, man. I really do feel like real estate is the way out too. It's just so concrete. Yeah, it's tangible and the math just adds up. Yeah.
The math just adds up. You're right, it does. And you know, it's funny because you know you're at the on the side where you know everything's like complete, right? And you're trying to sell the product. I want to be on the side to make the product. And we both see the potentials of real estate market. And obviously, so many people have to. That's why there's so many people in real estate market investing.
Definitely the investing side is the way to go. Selling is good. And I mean, I'm not even in the selling side. I guess I could say that I'm in the marketing side.
Yeah, exactly. You work in the marketing part. Right?
Definitely long-term investing is the way to go. So, and I think one thing you excel so much in is the discipline because a lot of friends have been asking me, how could they buy a house? Some have 20, some have more than 20% down, but they're scared. Some don't have 20%. Mm-hmm. And some just have a bunch of reasons where maybe the market is too high. They're afraid they might lose their jobs or whatever it is. You're not scared at all. You just go for it, which is really impressive.
Yeah. It definitely helps to have people behind you, like my family, for example, that support me both, not just emotionally, but financially. Like I probably wouldn't have been able to take this much risk if my parents weren't there to, you know, financially back me up. And from there, I can just, you know, self-sustain myself. But yeah, I agree with you.
Are you looking in Long Island still or elsewhere?
If I want to do it myself, it has to be Long Island or potentially Connecticut. If it's anywhere else, I would have to hire out. And that's a different animal. I'm not even sure how to do that. But doesn't mean we can't learn.
What motivates you? Is it the money or is it the lifestyle or the ideal financial freedom?
I remember I was mentioning my friend Dave. We've actually been, we talk every month. We talk about, you know, our financial goals. After, I think it was like a couple weeks after, maybe a month after we first started talking, and he, you know, explained to me what I should be leaning towards. Him and I decided to sit down and just write down what we call the five-year plan. And the concept of that is so that we, as well as the spouses we are with, can be financially free, not because we want to, but because we can. So we can choose. We have that choice. And I think that's important that everyone has that choice. You can't just be it. Like, you can't just be financially free. You really have to work hard. And, mm-hmm. you know, everyone has their own way. You know, some people start their own businesses. Some people do what I'm doing. Sometimes it's crazy. Whatever route you go, as long as you stick with it, if there's a way to make money through it, besides actually, you know, going to your daytime job, build that. And then soon that will be the same amount as you make during your day job. And then from that point, you can just let go of your day job if you want to.
Are you ahead on your five-year goal?
I am currently not.
That's an aggressive goal.
I've grown complacent. It is. A five-year plan is definitely aggressive. Have you happened to see the movie? I don't mean to go tangent, but have you ever seen the movie, TV show on Netflix, ET1 Class?
Heard of it, but I never watched it.
So it's really good, and I highly recommend you watch it. But just to summarize it real quick, a guy... He ends up building his own company, right, from scratch. It took him about 20 years, and he ended up actually going to jail before he built his business. But he worked hard. He did all these odd jobs. He saved the money. It was for him, before he even started that, once he got out of jail, he told his friend that this is my 15-year plan or something like that. He stuck through it, right? And eventually, I shouldn't spoil it, but the point is, He pushed through thick and thin. He was so consistent. And I know this is a TV show, but I know that there are people like that out there like that. You know, that inspires me, because that just tells me that you can't stay complacent. Just because you reached a goal, whatever it is, don't stop. You got to keep going. You got to just get to that next step. You know, that's why it's like walking upstairs. You know, you go up to the next step. And if you don't move anymore, you're not going to go anywhere to the next step, right? But in order to get to the top, you got to keep walking. Right now, I'm in between that first step and second step. In order to get there, I have to do something that's more out of my comfort zone. And that's the difficult part, knowing which way is the right way to go.
What are these ways you're talking about?
I want to open a business one day, right? I'm not sure what it's going to be. I'm going to tell you right now, in my near future, I have like three goals. I definitely want to open a coffee shop. I think it's super cool. I want to have a pool hall. I want to open up my own pool hall. I want to invent something, you know, anything. Mm. I'm an engineer, you know, in my blood, I'm an engineer. Right? I know it. Like it's ingrained in my coding. These are the three things that I want to do professionally. I guess extending past that, I think I should... do something more meaningful to, you know, humanity in itself, right? I don't mean to get so deep, but I think there's no point in life if you don't do something worth valuable, whether that be through your family, through mankind itself. I want to do something that's worth something to remember by.
Are you a person of faith growing up? What did this come from? Just life experience?
I guess you could say I was born and raised as a Christian. I did go to church back in when I was younger, but I fell off it in college. I dabbled into the concept, not the concept, the philosophy of Buddhism. But I'm not going to say I practice it, because I'll be, you know, disrespecting actual Buddhist people. I do take their philosophies, every single one of Christianity, you know. Personally, I think that as long as you stay true to the philosophies that you believe in, you'll be a good person. You can be a good person. And that's what I'm trying to stay with. Are you a person of faith?
I grew up Christian. My family is all Christian. I go to church. I guess you could say my faith was on and off during college, but now I think I'm pretty back on track. But from the things you said, I could hear there's that element to your being, I guess.
Sure.
I could hear that. I could hear spiritual. That in you. That's why I asked.
Okay. That's fair.
Especially when you describe your brother, right, as kind, and those little words I picked up that you probably value those things. And
I do, yes. My brother wants to be a pastor when he grows older.
Ah, okay.
I think that's so cool. I think that's so cool.
Good man. Imagine, good man.
Like, he's very good. I can't speak enough good about him. He's so smart. You know, he's got the smarts. I got the looks. You know.
That's very cool, man. Thanks for sharing all that. I have a few random questions, I guess. Fire round. Yeah, I'm gonna throw at you. Do you think people are inherently good?
Do I think people are inherently good? Every time I keep trying to say something, I get held back because of the word selfish, but not in like the negative connotation it might have. So it's hard for me to say yes or no. I think everyone wants to live a good life, be a good person, I guess. But I don't know. Sorry.
No, it's just an interesting question I like to throw out.
That's okay. Can I ask you, what do other people say? what do you think?
It's always a conflicting question in my own head. I never really have a good answer to it. But then recently, after watching some YouTube videos and listening to some, I guess, influential people that I've been following, my answer has to be no. People are not inherently good.
Yeah. Okay.
But doesn't mean people aren't capable of being good. There are good people out there. But the answer is that inherently they're not. Yeah. So like an example would be a child growing up. When you raise a child, you have to constantly tell them to say thank you, be respectful. Mm. And when you don't, when kids grow up with single parenthood or no good parents, they tend to grow up, you know, statistically not as good as they could be. And it's like saying, are people all good pianists? And the answer is no, but then they are able to become good pianists by practicing. Mm-hmm. So people could be good, but inherently they're not.
But they're not inherently evil, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess in a Christian aspect is sinful or not good. Yeah.
That they're not good. Okay.
Right.
But they can be trained to be good.
And I think to be good, it really takes effort and discipline, because I don't think people, like you said, people are naturally selfish, is a bad word, right? But you want to survive, you look out for yourself. It takes something else to be, let's say, poor, to look out for other people when you don't have enough to do something. Basically, it's not natural to be good, I would say.
It's not natural to be good. I think in the Christian philosophy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that every human is a sinner, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
So with that statement, I think saying that are people inherently good, the answer is no.
And growing up, like, that sounds really harsh. Like, oh, how could you say a baby was born sinful and when the baby didn't even do anything? But now, as I get older and just witnessing how life is, I could see that. And that's why it makes me value the good things that we have. Like, if we have a good neighborhood, good people around us, it's like, it's rare compared to if you go maybe travel outside of the country. There's a lot of mess and chaos around the world. And that could be the natural state. And that's why we have to value what we have. That's how I've been seeing it.
That's true. No, I agree with you on that.
What were you going to say before?
No, I don't know. It was just a question that came up to me. It's just, but what is classified as good though, right? Under whose definition of the word good? Is it under God? Or is it under like, what society deems as being good, which is obedient, you know, educated. So are we led to be good, but inherently we're animals. And I do like the word selfish, because at the end of the day, everything you do is going to be for yourself one way or another, is the way I think of it. Even acts of donation, right? I think are just ways to just, you know, satisfy your own feelings of worth.
No, it's interesting. You're right. And it's like nowadays, all these entrepreneurs out there, they say you have to give to charity, right? And then with that natural law, you will become successful. It's like it's like built into that system now. It's unfortunate, yeah. But the law is true. I do respect that. But to me, I guess the good and evil is, I guess, the Bible or what God says, because I feel like civilizations change a lot. Societies change. What's good to us might not be considered good to other people.
True, right? That's true. Yeah.
The last 2 decades in U.S. history, it's like so much thing has changed. What's good back then compared to what's good and right now, it's like such a huge difference.
It's true.
So I guess for me, the good and bad, it's always based on the Bible and based on what, I'm not a no way a perfect person or I follow strictly, but
no, absolutely.
At least that's the right or wrong that I'm basing with.
Let me ask you something. Okay. So if a person believes that they're doing good, and they die thinking that they've done good, are they actually good? For example, it's going to be hard to say, but if the serial killer killed people because he believed what he did was good, does that still make him is it justified then in his mind that he's a good person?
Yeah, give me these weird questions, man.
I know.
No, but I don't think that justifies it. Like I said, the right or wrong would be based on, without the Bible, without what God said, there's no right or wrong, right? It's like whatever people say, whatever that generation say. Like last generation says, hey, we got to feed people based on fossil fuels. That's what we use to, you know, bring people out of poverty. This generation says fossil fuels evil, so we got to kill all those industry. People could have good morale, but they don't have good moral basis. They have nothing to base on.
Okay. No, I believe you.
So I guess the serial killer, the action still is pretty evil. So that should be
evil. It's still for evil. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
No, I would, yes. Good, I'm glad.
I want to hear these discussions when your brother gets older between you two. That'd be pretty interesting.
we've had our share of philosophical discussions, because he's very religious, so I get his point of view. I'm very, realistic, so I kind of have more of a negative point of view, I guess. I wouldn't say realistic.
Not negative, yeah. Next question. What's your favorite neighborhood in New York City or New York State, since you live in Long Island?
Oh, wow. I actually hate the city. It's too much for me. That's tough.
Or what's a neighborhood that you really wish you could live in?
What neighborhood do I wish I could really live in? I would say generally a quiet neighborhood. I don't really have one in particular.
Okay.
But one that's quiet, and I have a nice yard.
Well, you have a lot of options where you live.
Yes, I do. I like where I am, though. It's nice. It's good. It is a good place.
Mm-hmm. What's something that makes you roll your eyes when you hear it?
you ever go to Panera Bread and you see those people preaching to other people about being financially free, but it's really like a multi-level marketing scheme?
Yeah, the Amway.
I am going to shamefully admit that I was led in a couple times, but the guy was nice. I'm just gonna tell you right now. So one time I was studying in Panera Bread. I think I was waiting for my fiance now, because she was in school. But this guy came up to me. He was really nice. We actually had a really great conversation. And eventually we were talking about, I'm not sure if you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, right?
Yep.
It's a very good book, regardless of, he actually lent me the book to read. And I think I read it over the weekend. And, you know, the next week we met up and we talked about it. And it was really nice. You know, it was a really nice conversation. We were bouncing off ideas. We were bouncing off our point of views on it. And then we started to meet every week. But it wasn't, I didn't really see it as, you know, he was like trying to lure me in or anything, right? Then one day he was like, you should come to this convention we got going on. It's free, you know, it's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be nice. You could, you know, maybe be able to, you know, make some money. I was like, I know where this is going. I was like, maybe I'm wrong, you know. I ended up going that night. I actually dropped my girlfriend off at the time. Dropped my fiance off her school because she had to go to class, and at the same time I went to the convention. I went there, I looked great, you know, looked sexy, and there was a bunch of people, right? The guy was there, and I sat in the front. I was listening to the whole thing, right? And then once they put the presentation up, I was like, I know what I got myself into. I was like, no, how do I get myself out of this? This is horrible. And I realized, right, like all the people that were there, all of them except the first row were the new recruits, quote unquote, right? I was like, oh shit, like everyone here is like in on this. And only the people in the first row are the newcomers. Like, oh, God damn it, all right. And they started asking us like questions, and we would give our answers, you know, we introduced ourselves. I think it was about 30 minutes in the presentation, I had a text from my fiance, and she said, class ended early, and it was like 8 p.m. at night. So she was like, class ended early, they're closing the building, you have to pick me up. And I was like, wait, okay. And I told the person, I was like, yeah, I gotta go, you know, while the presentation's going. And I literally stood up and walked right out. I said, sorry. And I didn't know it at the time, but I really screwed him because, you know, he brought me in. I was his representative. And I just walked right out and I never came back.
Yo, screw that.
Yeah, I was like, you know what, screw it. Because I knew what I was going to get myself into. You ever been in that situation?
Dude, I'm not going to lie, I had the exact same experience as you.
Seriously?
They really target people like us, man. For some reason, we just look like we're ready to jump into anything. I remember I was in SAC, and then these two Asian girls just approached me saying, hey, do you like to business ideas? That convention hall, was it in Midtown? Where did they take you?
Mine was in Farmingdale-ish area.
Oh, okay. That's good. Man, yeah. They freaking drove me all the way to 34th Street in Midtown from Stony Brook.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and they picked up like four other people along the way. It was a van, and we got there at like 7. And then as soon as they opened the presentation, I saw the word Amway. Yeah. I'm like, oh, crap.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's what I saw too. That was even my first rodeo, and I was like, shit.
Yo, but the worst thing is that I didn't have a ride to get back because they drove me there.
Yes, yes.
I had to sit through the whole presentation. Yeah, and there's like a lot of fake cheering, celebration of people rising their levels. And at the end, they just had different people sell it to me. Like one was being nice and the other one was being aggressive, just trying to get me to, I don't know what they were selling at the time. But it was crazy. Right? And I freaking hated it so much.
It's like inside, you're torn because you want to believe that this is real. You want to believe that this is good. Like this can actually make me successful. This can somehow lead me towards the path that I want to go. But at the same time, you know what this is. And you're like, you just gotta step away.
I do hear success stories, though. Maybe not from this company specifically, but other companies. Like the marketing, that strategy do work. Like a lot of people do get successful and learn a lot during those things. But it's just not for me. And I don't respect the way that these popular companies are doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah, exactly. But at what cost, though, are they becoming successful? Are they, you know, constantly, you know, annoying their family and friends? I can't do that.
I guess some people just have that in them that they really don't care. But yeah, not for us, I guess.
No, not for us. I think we're a little more quieter, you know?
Right.
I think I am. Can I ask you something
real quick? Yeah, yeah.
What's your goal at you know?
Honestly, it's really similar. I've been trying to hop on real estate ever since I graduated. Personally, in my own head, I felt like I'm really behind. Even though we're able to borrow a lot of money and bought this house that we're staying in, it's a small two-family. We're renting it out.
Oh, you are? Oh.
It's progress, but it's not the progress that I want. Like, maybe I want a second or third property by now, but I'm not anywhere close to that. But long-term, it's very similar. Financial freedom. I guess one struggle I have is trying to do good. I guess charity is just an example, right? But try to help while I don't have a lot. So eventually when I do become wealthy, I'll do the same. So that's one thing I'm trying to learn right now. And hopefully one day when I'm there, I'm able to actually make a difference and I want to open a cafe. I want to start a business and
all you this do other too? Fancy stuff.
Yep.
Are you serious? No. Wait. Dude, we look alike, and our mindset's the same. Wait, are we twins? Yeah. Are you serious? This is I'm so serious. Funny. What?
You can ask my girlfriend. Yo. She can verify. And it's funny that we studied the same thing, similar jobs, uh-huh. similar interests. It's crazy.
Wait, what do you work?
I'm a consultant for Transit MTA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before, I've worked with different government agencies as consultants, and also been a government employee myself. But now mm-hmm. I'm working for a private company handling government jobs.
You probably have less, what's it called, the benefits being a private company. Right, in the consulting firm, but
correct, yeah,
pay should definitely more. Okay,
yeah, my last job was with the city, and mm-hmm. benefits, I mean, it's not amazing, but you don't have to worry about it, everything is taken care of. That's but the true. Pay just wasn't there, at least for entry level. Yeah, that's why I had to make a switch.
Nah.
Yeah.
good. Are you gonna stay in that job, or do you want to, you know, jump to another field?
I think right now, realistically, I'm staying unless something else come up, but I'm always open to opportunities. But right now, realistically speaking, this is it. Yeah. What about you?
Let's see. Me, I want to be a product engineer. Is that what they're called? I want to work. Actually, I know I hate the city, but I actually want to work at a company in the city. They design consumer products. It looks like fun.
Okay.
Because once you're in the industry of aerospace, it's kind of hard to get out, because it's just so much different than commercial stuff. Tolerance is ridiculously tight. You have so many more standards you have to hold yourself to, and everything's documentation. Everything you breathe, documentation. Yeah. You know, you change a glove, documentation. You know, stuff like that. It's just very, very anal.
I was gonna say it sounds like a government job, but it is government contract, so I guess in that sense it's pretty similar.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. You said you guys bought a house. This one you're at right now, right? Mm-hmm. You bought it with your parents?
With my parents, yeah. So basically they had some savings and they borrowed the rest of the down payment. We bought it in mm-hmm. 2016, so I guess 1 year before you did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that was when the market was starting to pick up. But man, a year or two later, it just went up so much more. But yeah, it's a legal two family, but I think at one point it was a one family and they converted to a multi-family, but nice. Legally we're able to rent out one of the units, so that really helps.
Nice. Is that one bedroom?
No, so on the first floor it's two bedrooms and a mm-hmm. shared kitchen living space.
Oh, okay.
It's not big. And on the second floor it's one bedroom living kitchen dining, or kitchen/dining, a living uh-huh. a bedroom. We have an attic, and then the attic is where the value came from, because there's a two extra bedroom up here, and we added a bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the second unit, basically, we have three bedrooms and two baths. So that's why we decided to go for it.
Jeez.
Yeah, because my sister was living at home at the moment, before we bought it. So me, I need my own room. My sister needed her own room. My parents, their own room. So this worked out perfectly.
I'm glad your parents did that. And, you know, it was hard to convince my parents to even do this, you know. They're like, what, are you crazy? I said, yes.
I would call that crazy, man, but you pulled it off, so that's all that matters.
I know. It's okay. I would definitely like to be crazier.
Yeah. I get what you mean. Yeah. And now is really the time to go crazy.
You agree, right?
Way. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, for sure.
I think anything before 30, because after 30, when you have kids, or whenever you have kids, you can't really take that risk anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's harder. It's much harder.
That's why even if I'm behind, I'm still taking those risks. I think it's worth it.
I think it's important to try not to take any breaks now. Just keep hustling. Whatever you're doing, just hustle. Is your photography thing your secondary job?
Yeah, it is. I had to do it outside of work hours. I wish I had more time and flexibility, but at the same time, it's good side income. So I'm trying to just keep doing that.
No, I think the photos are great. I love the time lapse you did. It was a couple of days ago, I think.
The music, thank you, man.
Was good. Spot on the music. I was like, oh, this is so good.
I was gonna say a recommendation. I guess a tip.
Yes, please.
You should.
Yes.
Invest in like a DSLR, any DSLR, but get a wide angle lens, or get the newest iPhone actually with the ultra wide lens, because I think that will make your
because
I think on your Instagram sometimes I couldn't tell, but if you get that and you do time lapse, I think it will look amazing.
I see. Yes, I will check my videos. I think I have like okay, let me ask you something then. Video editing is hard. Period. It's a lot of work. I have probably over 150 gigabytes worth of video right now in my shed. I am dreading going through it. Is that a lot?
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, I think you just got to plow through it, man. And I feel like once you get a few video practices in, you could use the same formula, like hold the same intro, the same time lapse, and the same editing. Mm-hmm. It's no fun, especially the beginning. You're like learning every little thing.
Yeah.
It's a learning curve. What
program do you use?
I use the same one as you, Premiere Pro.
Premiere. I use Resolve.
Oh, never mind. I thought in one of your Instagram posts, it looked like Premiere.
I have to go to free. Is this Premiere you have to pay for?
Yes and no. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I got it.
It's an Adobe software.
I got you. And then on top of that, you kind of know how to use Instagram for like construction. I mean, I don't know my audience's perspective because, you know, when I make a video, I think it's great. I'm pretty sure if someone saw the video, they probably watched like 5 seconds, like, I'm good. You know, I mean,
no, I love it, man. Maybe because I watch so much Fixer Upper. Yeah, like every time it comes, I don't go on Instagram a lot, but when I do, I just post, but I don't really watch the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I see that, it's like, that's why I thought you were a full-time contractor of some sort.
No, I don't know if I want to be.
So what's the short-term goal with the Instagram though? Are you building a portfolio to show potential investors?
That's definitely should be part of it. Yes. Yeah. So, I'm going to try to put more highlight stuff on the page so I can kind of brighten up my Instagram. It's definitely to build up a portfolio. It's no good to keep all that information to yourself. I think I don't want to die with 150 gigabytes worth of value, whether it's good or not, and not share it. Right. There's no point.
Yeah. And it feels so good once you get them out of the way.
It's true. I still have stuff from my renovation of this house that I haven't even posted yet, just because I'm dreading it. I just don't want
it. I guess maybe it helps to on your next property to like visualize how you plan to have the video come out.
This
way you just shoot like what's important. Yeah, easy on editing maybe.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. So the approach I took with the shed this time was just straight up time lapse. I put my camera in one spot during the whole thing, and it just has about a whole month worth of just videos.
Wow.
Just one spot. I know, and I have it recording at like probably like 2K or something. That's why it's so much data.
I hope your computer could handle it.
It can, but I can't.
When I told you I had a vlogging channel for YouTube.
Yes.
I had this project a couple months back is to get my practice in. I had to make one video a day, and I did it for 100 episodes. So I did it for 3 months, making one video a day, just vlogging my day.
Oh, really? Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Somewhere as short as like a minute and a half, but I just had to get it out. Like sometimes I don't have my camera on me. I just use my phone, and some suck so much. I can't even watch the old ones right now. It helped me with my editing skills. I'm not a pro. But it helped me so much with like speeding up the editing process. Like now I'm not scared of it anymore. And especially if I go on a fun trip and if it's something fun, it makes editing so much easier.
Oh, because you know what to look for.
Exactly. And if the video itself or the content isn't as good, I'm less motivated. So maybe that has to do with it too. Like if you're building something that's fun to you, it might be easier.
Okay. I like it. You know, the other thing is like, it would help to have like, you know, a dedicated cameraman just recording me as I go, subjected to, and just kind of forced into that position where I just kind of just tripod it. But I mean, that's just because I need to get to actually working. Now I have to trade, like, do I want to record this and, you know, set up to get good shots? Or do I just really need to muscle through this? Because, for example, for the apartment, some of the, I missed a lot of information because I just needed to get through it. Like my permit was, you know, going through, and I want to have tenants by, you know, next month. I got to finish this. I can't record. my memory card's full.
And that holding the camera is a full-time job, just holding it there and setting it up, checking on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe your video don't have to be too elaborate. Sometimes you could talk to yourself and just describe it instead of showing the whole thing. Because sometimes people get bored at the whole process. They like the ones that are very well made. Yeah. So you show the best parts, maybe.
That are engaging.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's another thing, right? Because that's why I took this approach for this one, where it's just time-lapse. So there's no in-depth detail. The ones I did for my apartment, I had more up close, but I kind of felt like I lost all the information of the actual transformation. I mean, maybe that's something I could accomplish with two cameras, but I'm not going to even go there. So I kind of feel like when I start the project and I start recording, I have to stick with whatever style that is. Mm. Like if I start with time lapse, I got to go time lapse the whole way. Maybe I can have some small segments, but
no, I don't think you have to go time lapse the whole way, because I guess you could do some time lapse and then here and there you could zoom into like your hands where you're actually doing some detail work. I mean, time lapse is satisfying, but I think you only need so much.
Yeah, I know. Just have too much.
And maybe just setting the camera on another angle, because when you switch the angle, it's pretty interesting too.
That's true. You can kind of get a new perspective. It kind of just refreshes it.
Right. Because if the goal is to study up the detail of how every step is, then one angle time lapse makes sense. But if it's to be entertaining and engaging, then different angle could help.
All right, I'll definitely take that into consideration.
I mean, I'm still learning too, but just something I think it might work.
No, absolutely. You know, I appreciate it. Did you happen to go do cinematography at all? Study it?
No, photography I did in college as a hobby. And remember all those club events that we go to? I would take pictures for those or whatever organizations I was in. And the video was more recent after I started watching YouTube videos and see how fun it could be. And as like another way to document, maybe if you go on vacations or a trip or something, there's just so much that photos can do and videos could tell so much more of a story. It's interesting, but it's so much to learn.
I think that's cool. It's so much to learn. Does it feel like you're taking some of the joy out of the present experience by recording?
It does, yeah. Like those 100 days, it was exhausting. A lot of times I'm taking photos at those photo shoots. When I was taking photos, I had to hold a second camera and vlog or place it somewhere to record myself. It's kind of ridiculous, but now I'm glad I did that because it takes the fun out of the moment. It's painful at the moment, but looking back at it, it's fun if the video comes out well.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, when you and your girlfriend go on vacation, it's probably really nice to revisit or relive all those experiences through your videos and photos. I'm sure. Especially, you know, with your experience on how to take good angles, right? Me would probably just be like a nice under chin, double chin angle. Day two.
No, but you're right though. That's something I'm trying to find a balance to. Instead of taking 15 photos, just take 3 and just enjoy whatever's there at the moment.
How about you for your Instagram? Do you go on it to what's the goal for your Instagram?
I was unclear. I guess it's more like a portfolio for myself. Like I want to showcase some of the engineering, some photography, some lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure what the ultimate goal is. Maybe it's shallow if I think about it. And at one point, I was pretty serious about marketing the photography. So I posted very consistently on one of my other accounts. And it worked really well, actually. So I was actually just able to see a lot of new businesses that came in just through the Instagram account.
Really?
So I think it's actually helpful if it's done right. But right now, I don't even go on as much because I don't have an excuse. But yeah.
So have you put back your business for photography?
No, because I don't have a lot of flexibility with my schedule. So right now I have a set amount of clients that always been working with me consistently. And they also refer other people to me. So I'm kind of, I guess, booked up for who I am right now.
I see what you're saying.
I mean, eventually I do want to grow as a business and hire people to help me out. That's down the line eventually, yeah.
When's it eventually?
I actually started it and it didn't go too well. I mean, it went well. I had a few shoots in, but it's just hard to find the right people. I know everything I'm saying is just excuses. like right now I'm focusing on stock trading. I've been doing it for a couple of years, so I'm still working on that.
Oh, you do? not a couple of years. I mean, how's that going for you?
It's up and down. I feel like I'm almost there, but my discipline is still lacking a little. I'm actually planning to interview a successful stock trading friend soon, just to see how their mindset is. Yeah. Every time I get to a certain level, I tend to just have some self-destruction tendency to blow up. It's like once you make enough money, you want to go faster. And that in stock trading, that never works. Or in real estate, you buy something, you over-leverage, and you blow up, I guess. Same scenario. Oh, let's see.
Okay, so you're focused on stock trading right now.
I mean, I could definitely handle more, but I've been taking a few months back, maybe because of COVID, take it slow, mm-hmm. but I got to get back to full steam very soon.
I think my favorite days were when I was so busy, I had to schedule every like 15 minutes of my day. You know, the day before I would wake up. No, sorry, that was weird. The day before, the night before, I would write out my entire schedule from morning to night of the day before, and on a sticky note. When I woke up, I would hit each one, check it off, and at the end of the day, I would throw it away. I don't know about you. I love that because, one, it helps you get things done. And when you say you have an excuse to do it, that means that thing is left unchecked. And it makes you feel like upset, I guess. And it's kind of like a way to kind of punish yourself to next time to do it, right? Because it'll be on the next sticky note or something. I'm hoping that actually, now when I'm doing my shed, I kind of have that approach. On like the weekends, I schedule my whole day of what exactly I'm going to do in terms of the stage. Or like at the end of the day of work, I would schedule the 3 hours I have at night to decide what I'm going to do. You know, from as simple as taking a shower, when I'm going to eat, when I'm going to go to bed, stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. Do you ever do that? Kind of micro scheduling yourself?
Right now I just use Google Calendar. I add the events that I do. I get exactly what you mean. For a while I did that, maybe like a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it was it's so productive, because when you put it down, it's in your face and you have to do it. Yeah, you can't go to sleep without finishing up, is that you don't let it go to the next day. And I got to get back to that. You're totally right.
It's especially since you're telling me like you can handle it. So what I would say is do it. Just go for it and schedule it in your day. You know, I love hearing about, people being successful or going to be successful, because, what was it? Someone said your success is defined by the people you surround yourself by, something like that. Right. Like if I have the ability to have conversations with you and, ask about your success, I hold myself accountable, right? I'll be able to hold you accountable, and vice versa, right? So that's what I do with Dave, my friend. You know, every month we talk, we ask, what have you done productively this month? Have you read a book this month? I'd say, yeah, I read this. Oh, I reread this book. And we would talk about the books. We would talk about our plans. He currently now has a 130-unit apartment, one family house, and I think he has a two-family house right now. He's I'm telling you, he's very smart. He's very determined. He's very dedicated. He's very Christian. I'm gonna share with you his goal. So his end goal is to be able to, I think it was like called fostering 10 kids or something like that. So like he would be able to essentially give or pay an allowance of X amount of money to kids in Africa. You know, that's his, to him, part of that to him is how he pays back to God, right? By helping others through his success. I think it's okay to be selfish now when you're trying to be successful, as long as you have those values that you're trying to be generous, I guess, or, you know what I'm trying to get.
That's powerful, yeah. You have to help yourself become powerful to help other people.
Yeah, you can't become powerful without working out. If you don't work out to build yourself, you can't help anyone else.
I wouldn't call that selfish, though. It's just I'm contradicting myself. Naturally, people are selfish.
It's okay.
You could still help yourself out. It's not like every time you go to work because you don't give your money away, it makes you selfish, right? It's not like that. The fact that you're helping yourself is actually helping society. if you if you take care of your family, you raise your kids well, it's actually helping society.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think you and him are pretty similar as well in that aspect.
Oh man, I like to think so. But yeah, it's crazy how...
You are.
I appreciate that, man.
Of course.
If you could retire tomorrow, what would you be doing?
I'd open a coffee shop. or play pool every day.
Is it gonna be focusing on the coffee or the vibe, the environment?
Ooh, that's a good question. Ooh, I think it's ambiance, the environment. I personally love a very nice place to study.
Dude, every Saturday I used to go out to Flushing just to sit in a cafe and go on my laptop.
Study? See? Dude. Oh my god. You're so similar. It's scary. Sometimes I would go to Starbucks on the weekends just to study too. Like if I had to, for whatever reason.
It just feels right. It just feels it right, feel yeah. Right.
You put yourself in that environment where, you know, everyone is there to study or just develop themselves in some way, right? And yeah. And the smell of coffee, the aroma of coffee, just encourages brain activity.
And you need some of that background noise. Some people are just busy doing their own stuff. That natural sunlight. Exactly. It's right.
I'm not sure if you saw me at Starbucks a lot. I'm not sure if you did it at all.
No, I didn't used to go to Starbucks a lot at Stony.
Yeah. No? I would go every day to study at Starbucks. I did everything at Starbucks in terms of studying. I did my mechanical engineering projects, had wires hanging out everywhere at one point in time.
That's extreme. Matter what.
It is extreme. It was extreme. I think some people would voucher me and say that, yeah, Phil went to Starbucks like every day to go study. It was ridiculous.
That's cool. It's almost like you listen to Gary Vee. I don't listen to him anymore, but he's always about like that background noise. He needs noise to function. It's kind of like that. Maybe you need that cafe background noise.
I think so. I think I'm just so used to being in a cafe. And like I said, it just makes you feel happy, you know?
A Saturday in a cafe, it's perfect.
I know. I like it.
Yeah, can't wait to go back. Last time I went, they closed it for COVID.
I haven't even noticed.
It's takeouts only.
How about you? How have you been doing with COVID?
I get to work from home a couple months ago for 2 or 3 months. And then I had to go back to the office, started a month and a half ago. I'm in the quote-unquote construction industry, the essential work for the government. So we had to go back. But yeah, it's interesting to see the traffic build up week after week. I drive in every day. I was able to find a spot very easily in the beginning in the city. And now it's getting harder and harder. Now I have to put my government vest on my car, hoping I don't get a ticket in certain areas. But overall, yeah, you can see people are coming back into the city. A lot of homeless people everywhere.
Really?
Especially,
wait, seriously?
Yeah, especially in Midtown area. And yeah, it's like, for some reason, that's where they congregate. A lot of people just sleeping on the street. I'm not sure what's the reason for that, but that's something I noticed.
Are they like, do they look like homeless people, or are they kind of just like normal people like you and me that just happen to be homeless now?
I think they've been homeless for a while, and a lot of people have drug problems too. But maybe it wasn't so obvious before because it was so crowded with people, and now them all in one spot, just taking over a whole block sometimes.
Wow, that sounds like Los Angeles.
Yeah, I haven't seen how bad it is, but yeah, it's almost like that, but I'm sure it's a lot better here still.
Have you seen any of the protests and stuff in the city?
Yeah, recent few weeks, I think a lot of traffic when I was heading home is due to protests.
Really?
Especially in the busy Brooklyn areas, yeah. Some are just quote-unquote peaceful protests, people on their bikes or their smaller groups, and some are just...
Like riots, you mean? Oh, no, still protests.
Still, I guess daytime isn't riot, but I guess nighttime, that's when they used to smash windows. Like, I used to walk past this two avenues every morning, and I'll see a lot of windows get smashed. But overall, it's not better now. We don't see that anymore. Yeah.
I feel so bad for those businesses, man.
Imagine that's your cafe.
That's what I'm saying, like, Some of these people have put their heart and soul into these businesses, and then they lose it like that.
Yeah.
It gets ransacked.
Yeah. That's the world now. That's why we have to become more powerful to make a difference.
Yes. Yes. We do have to become more powerful. Got to start somewhere. Yeah. What about your girlfriend? What does she do?
She's an occupational therapist.
Oh?
People confuse that with physical therapist.
I know exactly what that is.
I guess they're still technically in the same field. Yeah, she used to work at nursing homes. That's where she actually witnessed a lot of the, because in nursing homes they got hit really bad from COVID, so she stopped working there for a while. But she, her full time is in schools for DOE in East New York, Brooklyn. So that's where she works.
So she's not occupational therapist currently. She's working as a
DOE. Oh, she is
part of the DOE. Oh, she still is.
She's a occupational therapist in a school working with kids with disabilities.
Oh, got it. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's pretty broad what they do.
Yeah, that is broad. Wow. Does has she been did she get coronavirus at all and not being exposed that much?
No, we convinced her to stop working right when we heard there's cases in those nursing homes. So I think she's been fine. Okay. And she's playing it really safe, and I'm glad, which is cool.
One of my friends actually passed away because of coronavirus, and
oh my god.
Yeah, I was not expecting, I don't think anyone was expecting it. He was probably like 35, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, he I think it was, he collapsed, and then while he was collapsing, like, he happened, was able to call his brother. By the time he got to the hospital, I think he was already gone.
So sad.
Some sort of like long, yeah. So I get kind of upset when, you know, people say that it's not real. It's like a hoax or something.
It's so sad that it's the worst in New York City too, where we live. That's why we see us so much.
Yeah, but some people still don't believe it. You know?
Yeah, I was just speaking with a fire department, a friend who works in the fire department, and yeah, he said a lot of people die from it. He saw it personally. So it's definitely no joke.
Yeah.
Definitely. Something to be grateful for, you know. It's a good reminder.
Yeah. yes.
yeah.
Being back, I don't wanna be anywhere near that. Nope. No chance. My fiance, she works as a dental hygienist. She actually just recently started going back to work, and she's like, you know, like this close to the patients. Yeah. You know,
that's scary, man. And
it is scary. It's very scary. You know, you can't wear, well, the patients can't wear face masks. You know, I mean, she's got like full on protection, but I don't know to what extent that's gonna. I don't know when the glass is going to break.
I think one thing that people should do is still go outside to get some sun, not like congregate, but go outside, get some sun and exercise to boost that immune system. That's, we haven't heard enough, but I think that's, at least that's what we can do individually to help with that.
That's true. With the, you mean like the mental as well?
No, even physical, because it is a virus. If you're, I think a lot of people with strong immune system, when they get it, they don't even notice, or they have the antibodies without even noticing. True. So that's why the quarantine is a little, has downside too, because people aren't getting the sunlight or getting their exercise in, which makes them easier to get sick too.
That's true. Have you been able to work out at all?
Rarely. I think after Stony, I just haven't really worked out. I do have a little barbell on my balcony. Mm-hmm. Every time I go out, I just do like a few curls. That's about it.
Do a couple hits. Gotta get those biceps in there. Yeah.
Is the renovation work your workout, or are you still working out outside of that?
That's funny, because like a lot of the times I say I'm not gonna work out because it's going to compromise my actual work, on construction. So. I think it's just an excuse. I should work out more.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with those construction workers or people who work in the field, like they're jacked. Mm-hmm. And you could tell they lift weights. It's not from, you could tell it's not from the day-to-day, because people that work in construction, a lot of them have big bellies or they're overweight.
That's true.
It's like you have to hit the gym still just to maintain that. But maybe it's the diet, you know, they eat fast, they eat unhealthy, they buy fast food, the stereotype.
You definitely want to eat fast when you do construction. You just like, I need that, you know? It's like
right.
Craving.
Yeah, and eventually get the beer belly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Phil, this is fun, man, and
how are you?
I appreciate all the questions too.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, and I think we should do more of this, even if it's not on the podcast. We should discuss more and have a accountability thing going from this point on for us. I think it'll be fun.
I absolutely would like to do that with you.
That sounds good, man.
All right.
All right, yeah, so I'll talk to you later, and we'll talk offline.
Oh, yeah, man, sounds good.
And there you have it, folks. That was quite an insightful and motivating episode for me personally. And offline, we also found out many other similarities, and one of them is that we make the exact same salary. Hopefully you took away something from this episode, and thanks for listening. Peace.